Now, as I've already mentioned, this is part three. We're going to look at Romans 8. Now, you may remember last week we had Romans 8, and we'll have it as we go on. It's sort of a lectio continua in a letter of Paul. And this letter is, by everybody's estimation, one of the most important letters, probably the most important letter that he wrote. So, again, I want to give a little bit of context for it, okay? He's been talking, in chapter 8, is all about the Holy Spirit. I think I've already done this for you, but back in 1:18 in Romans, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for all believers, Jew first and Greek, okay? So the Evangelion is the power of God. I know I've done this part before, but it doesn't hurt, I think, to recall it. Is it the words that are the power of God? No. The words as they bear the reality. It's the reality. I'll give you an example. Suppose you root for, there's no neutral team, how can I say that? Okay, you root for the New York Yankees, let's say. I understand they're falling on hard times. I don't know where they are in the baseball season. But anyway, you root for the New York Yankees. So, I say to you, Yankees won last night. That's good news. If they won, my words are not the good news. It's the reality that's the good news. So when I say the gospel is the good news, I don't mean my words. I mean the reality brought to you by my words. It's the reality which is the power of God. The death and resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's the good news. That's the power of God. Am I clear? It's not just the words. Like if I said the Yankees won last night, and they didn't. I mean, my words are totally hollow. All right. I can't see your eyes, so I'm not sure, but I think you got it. The gospel is the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit. That's the gospel, the reality, brought to us by words. And the words are very important. But it's the reality that's the good news. Okay. I need that for what's going to happen here. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined, and He goes through all of that. You see? Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. In anticipation. We're glorious already, even though it's in a fragile human body. Our Lord once said to St. Catherine of Siena, if you saw one soul in the state of grace as they really are, you'd worship them. You'd think it was me. And that's what he means here. Now he goes on. What then shall we say? Huh? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? I'm sorry, I want to go back. The Spirit bears witness, I'm in verse 16, that we're children of God, and of children then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if only what? If only we suffer with Him so that we may be glorified with Him. The suffering is so that we may be glorified. It says, so that. Okay. Then the text starts. He's going to be talking about suffering and the goal of suffering, which is transformation into God forever, for all eternity. So he begins. You see, I consider that the sufferings of this time now are not equal to the coming glory to be revealed in us. There's no comparison. What we put up with, what we suffer, sick, disappointed, hurt, whatever. You know, there's no you can't compare it with the glory to be revealed in us. And now he's going to invoke four witnesses to establish that thesis, that the coming of the glory is beyond everything. He said, look around. And this is the first one. The eager expectation of the creation is awaiting the revelation of God. Just look outside and see. It's not finished. You see? For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of the one who subjected it in hope, hoping for something. Because creation itself will be set free from the slavery of corruption for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that all the creation is groaning together and is in travail together up until now. So the first sign of hope is, look out the window. You can tell for yourself it's not finished. This universe has got to be transformed. You can see that for yourself. You see? The eager expectation of the creation is awaiting the revelation of the sons of God. It's not going to be made perfect without us. For a sensitive person, just looking at the universe is a sign of hope. Why? Because I know it's got to be better than this. This is not the finished job. If you look at the last line of the last book of the Summa Contra Gentiles, where St. Thomas kind of breaks out of his normally staid way, and he starts describing how God will give himself to the universe, and even the rocks and earth will be made glorious. You see, then creation is where it belongs. But we can intuit that, you see. So that's the first establishing that the sufferings of this time are not equal to the coming glory that is to be revealed in us. First proof, the creation. See, we know, and he ends, that all creation is growing together and is in travail until now. Now the second proof. Not only that, we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves are groaning within ourselves. So the universe is groaning, right? And the word there implies childbirth, see? And we're groaning. The same notion of seed, you know, like it's the same thing. We are groaning within ourselves, awaiting sonship. What's the sonship? The redemption of our bodies. God didn't die to save souls. He died to save human beings. If he couldn't save our bodies, there'd be something truncated. And we know that. Already we have this yearning to be clothed over, as he says in the letter to the Corinthians, you see? For we were saved in hope. Now, you remember what salvation means, huh? It means being body and soul plunged into the divine Trinitarian life forever. That's saved. Somebody stops you on the street and says, are you saved, sister? Are you saved, brother? You can say, no, I'm justified. But I will be saved when the Lord comes and takes me to his Father and transforms all our bodies. Then I'll be saved. Okay. We're saved in hope. But a seen hope is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If then we hope for what we do not see, we are awaiting in steadfast endurance. And that's as far as our text goes today. That's as far as, you know, the text takes us. But you can see it's these first two, and there's going to be two more. For some commentators, there's only one more. I'm going to tell you what the one more is, even though we'll have it next week. Paul has already said that creation groans, right? He said now that we groan. Now the next one that he talks about is, you see, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself prays for us with unutterable groanings. Even the Spirit of God himself working in us groans in us. Isn't that awesome? That God would do that? That he's waiting for us to be totally transformed. That's why he calls us to holiness, to begin that whole process, so that even by the time we die, we're a lot like God. And the purification process could be just about over, and as a saint it is over. And I'm not only the big shot saints, but the little shot saints. As a priest, I'm at the bedside of dying people once in a while. And sometimes you just know, from the way they're dying, they're on the way to heaven. No doubt. Just such peace, such joy, such, you see. So, the Holy Spirit's been groaning in them, you see, and interceding, you see. And he who sees the heart knows what the Spirit is asking is according to the will of God. So that is this Romans 8 text, the part that we have. We have verses 18 to 23. I added 24 because I noticed they skipped it when they went to the next, like next Sunday. They start with verse 25, I think. But you've got to get this idea that Paul looks on this universe with the eyes of a mystic. And he says, it's not complete. That's the source of my hope. This is going to be better than this. Volcanoes and earthquakes and plagues, and that's not God's creation. It's going to be better than that. Look at Isaiah promising new heaven and new earth. I mean, we know that. So it's a sign of hope. Things are going to be better. And it's groaning. And then we're groaning, awaiting the redemption of our bodies, which is part of this whole physical transformation of the universe, right? The lines of John Paul II in that big book, Theology of the Body, when he talks about heaven. So beautiful. If you want to look it up, it's where he's talking about that discussion in Luke about the five men who marry the same woman and then they all die, and well, whose wife is she going to be? And I wrote it, you don't understand the power of God. You don't understand this. In heaven, there's no marriage in giving in marriage. And the Pope takes that and starts to talk about heaven. And a philosopher reflecting on heaven. It's beautiful. In sum, he says, you see, our subjectivity will be taken over. The deepest life principle in us, body and soul, will be the very Trinitarian life itself. God himself will be the principle of our life. And our subjectivity will be transformed. That's what he says we're waiting for. You see? Well, that we know enough to wait for it is a sign of hope. We're not under illusion. This isn't some sort of, you know, pipe dream. This is God's plan, as he says in many places in Scripture, including this one right here. We're awaiting our sonship, which is the redemption of our bodies, redeeming our bodies back from corruption, pain, sin, darkness, whatever, and making it glorious with the life of God forever. That's what Paul is preaching here in this Romans 8. And so, while you can see that the text is not like a seed text, if you take this and put it over in Corinthians, where you have Paul arguing again, what do you mean there's no resurrection of the body? If there's no resurrection of the body, then you're still dead in your sins. And in there, remember what he says? You see, it's sown in corruption, but it rises in incorruption. This body of ours, like a seed planted in the ground. That's meant to encourage us, my friends.